You already sang your song, huh? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Welcome to each and every one this morning, you beautiful people on this wonderful morning. Welcome to you. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house. So good to be here, period. I want to share with you from Psalms 8 this morning as we begin our worship service. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. And thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou art visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's praise him.
For him to worship this morning, using 196, sing the first and last verse, and Benny will have your prayer.
186.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you once again this morning with thanksgiving, Almighty God, we thank you for your goodness toward us. How great and wonderful you are, Heavenly Father, as we look out this morning and see the bright sunshine, Heavenly Father, it reminds us of the faithfulness of you. You never fail us, Heavenly Father. You're just like the sun. It comes up every morning, just every morning. It's there. You're always there. Especially you're there when we need you, dear God, and we thank you for that. You provided well for us this past week. We thank you for that. You've blessed us once again to come together here. We thank you for the good people you've cared for and made it possible for to be here with us. And we know, Heavenly Father, that there's some absent from us this morning for various reasons. Some are visiting, some are traveling, and so forth. So we pray for them, Heavenly Father, in their absence, that the Holy Spirit be present with them, that, Heavenly Father, they realize and know that they're absent from us, that we're rejoicing in the Lord together with them also. So, Heavenly Father, while we thank you, for this time, we thank you, we come together, and we just pray, Heavenly Father, you bless our worship service, that you'll take it, Heavenly Father, as our thanksgiving for your goodness, your mercy, your love toward us, and Heavenly Father, that you'll minister to each and every one of us this morning, Heavenly Father, in a way that we need. Sometimes we don't know what we need direction. So this morning we come to you, we ask for direction, for guidance, for the good things that you'd have us to do in this coming week, we pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, using number 220, sing the first and third verse.
Like a woman at the well, I was weeping for things I could not satisfy. My soul.
we thank you once again for the opportunity we have to be in the house and get around thy table. We're especially thankful for this cup and this loaf which we partake of in memory of thy Son who gave his life that we might be saved. We pray that you do us through this service. We pray that you'll be with Benny's and bring the morning's message. We ask for forgiveness from the fail thee and strength that we may be more like thee. These words we ask in thy name.
Father God, I just am so thankful for this beautiful Lord's Day you provided for us, for the opportunity we have to gather here with fellowship with one another and bless you as we always have. And we just thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to give back a small portion that you've so richly blessed us with. You give us health and strength to go out and earn a living for our families and return this 10% to you, Father. We just pray a blessing upon this offering that will richly bless this community and everyone around the world, Father. Just thank you for everything you do for us each and every day. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. For his name we pray.
I say this all the time, but I really mean it. It's always good to see you folks, and it's so good to see you in the Lord's house. Good to see you here. Maxine informed me, and I hope you can hear me all right, and if you can't, just raise your hand. Maxine says, since I got my new hearing aids, she says I speak too low, but I tell her she's speaking too loud. And so I'll try to watch that. Did you have trouble with that, Peggy? Your brain has to get adjusted. And Mike, probably, you hear yourself sometimes louder than what you are doing. So they tell me it takes a period of time for your brain to get that. And of course, I got a slow brain, so it'll take a little longer. But okay, I want you to hear. Well, welcome to each and every one. And listen, it was so good, as I was telling Doodle, last week I could hear Doodle when he was on a back pew back there, and I could hear his prayer. And I heard Jerry's this morning. And even for the last few, when my old ones went down, I couldn't hear that. And so it's so good. It's just so good. I mean, I'm kind of like, it reminds me of our granddaughter, Ashley. And she was just a young lad, and they finally figured out she couldn't see and she needed glasses. And Maxine and them went then with her to get her glasses. And they were going through the mall, and she was so excited because she was seeing things. And she was just pointing out how wonderful it was. And, you know, I hear the birds sing. I hadn't heard the birds sing for a while. Isn't it good, I mean, to hear the birds sing? It's so great. So I thank the Lord that for those little old gimmicks that they can help you out. All right. Oh, listen, and thank you folks that were here last Friday night. Another grand night and a great meal and a great time together, and we look forward. Now spring is springing out, and so it won't be, but just maybe hopefully next month we'll be able to get our games out front and just have fun together out there. Let's get outside, and hopefully then we'll have a couple times that we'll be cooking out and so forth as spring approaches and so forth. So we look forward to the good times we'll be having together there. Let's see, anything else taking place? Bible study is going to continue tonight, and Doodle's going to be leading that, so we encourage you folks to be here, and we know it will be good. And we're going to be take off after a while. We're going to join Tammy and Doug and Ashley for a couple of days and down relaxation, I guess you call it, down the mountains. So we're going to be joining them. And so we'll miss tonight. But we're glad to you folks that are interested and desire to have the Bible study. We thank you for being here. All right, let's see what else is taking place here. We're so glad to see Pauline here, and Robert, that took care of that. You know, we already had guys lined up for that. I've told her that a while ago, but we said if she didn't come, didn't we? We wasn't losing our faith that you might not be here. We're glad you're here, and so we hope that things will go well with you. We continue to see on our prayer. We heard the little baby that we've been praying about here lately that is progressing, even though it's small. So we're glad to hear those things happening. And let's see who else is on. And before I forget it and get very far into the prayer list, let me back up and say thank you, good folks, for all the cards you sent me. Wishes for a happy birthday. And man, I have to tell you, it is a happy birthday. I mean, isn't it, Omer? I mean, man, when you can get up in the 80s and your birthdays, I mean, it's a happy time. You'll know it when you get there. I hope you all get there and pass it. Omer and I were kidding with Robert, I think, the other night. And I said, well, I got 18 more years that I'm looking forward, you know, for 18 more years to get 100. Omer, he comes along, he said, I just got 9. He just got 9. He's going to, oh, that's great. All right, and back, but, you know, really, the Lord has been good to us and given us health and so forth, and that's great. And so we pray for these people on our prayer list, each and every one of them, that God will minister to them and their needs. And, you know, I don't say this to embarrass you, Judy, at all, but Judy's been, she missed Friday night, and we missed them. She has this terrible headache, and here's a gal who knows what those headaches is. And, you know, we don't speak this very often, but I would encourage that anytime. The scripture doesn't tell us to force ourselves onto people, but it does say if people are in need and ill and so forth, they can call for the elders and pray over them. And Judy, I mean, if you desired that, the elders would pray over you, over that headache business. And I say that in a good way because I think I stand here this morning because of, and part of that is because the elders prayed over me and you people joined their prayers together. Maxine told me a while back, when I announced it, I was going back in 9 months. Actually, I made a mistake because the thing was set up for 6 months. So that next month I'll be going back for a whatever. And I don't want to rush time, but I'm kind of anxious to get there because I just feel like that, you know, that we're going to find a little surprise back there too. You know, God is good. I mean, I'm doing good. And I contribute that to the fact that I depend upon the prayers of you people. I put great confidence in the scripture sin, call for the elders and let them pray over you. And because the men who has cares for he, the shepherd of the sheep, caring for the sheep and so on, and I'm one of them sheep, and those things really works, and I'm convinced of it. And so anytime that anybody wants to take advantage of that, I'm sure our elders are here to do that, all right? And so Lulabelle, she's not here today. Her and Loma was here Friday, and who else are we missing? Tina and Ron isn't here. They flew out this morning to Florida. They had their daughter, I think it was, went on a business trip, and somewhere or another just happened to be able to arrange and got flight with her to take them, and so they're going to spend a few days down in Florida. And then there's a couple other people that's missing. They're going to be traveling. And let's see, who else? Have we got anybody out that's sick that I'm not seeing? All the rest of our people, whoever's out, they're not out because of illness, I don't think. Our regular people, I think there are other things that's taking place. But pray for them, pray for each other, and pray for them. But our prayer list is very important to us, be in much prayer for them. I haven't done a report, haven't talked to anybody about Dell and Bi this week. Didn't talk to them myself, didn't call them. I'm ashamed of that. And anybody? About the same. About the same, they go, oh, bless their heart. You know what I mean? We say that and we take that in stride because, you know, when we say they're about the same, at least they're not going backwards, and so that's good. So we pray that they'll be strengthened up. Okay. And for our service people, and, oh, yeah, Bergen, he's off on a trip, so he'll be flying back in today or tomorrow, today and so forth. So those people.
They know about Frank. Frank's like Peter. He's gone fishing.
Well, let's pray he gets a good catch. All right. That'd be great, you know. That's good. All right. And it's for our service people, for our country, for our nation, for the leaders, and especially for the church. We're so thankful. I hope you're as thankful as I am to be a part of this church family because I think the blessings that we get and receive because we're a part of this church family. I talked to some other people, to some of the other congregations, and so forth, and they just don't have the feel that we got here. You people are, God blesses you, and you know, when I talk to some of them, even from our home church down there, and talk to them, and they just come over with me to the fact that, you know, they're just all slumped down and no more. I said, man, you guys are all excited what God's doing about it for you. That's great. God is so good. And I know that he hears our prayers, and I know he's going to do something good for these people we're going to pray for this morning.
Now, poor prayer hymn is number 253, saying the first and last verse, and Virgil will have our prayer. It's all saying. Invitation hymn be number 325. This time Virginia is going to bring a special.
We had a request this morning, so anytime anybody has a request, just let us know and we'll get around to it sometime.
Yesterday.
clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathleen and Virginia. Very pretty. We do hope that it's well with your soul, everyone. Thank you. I don't have a long text. I just have one verse this morning to share with you. And it's something that you all know. And But I took that word that the angels told the women and the disciples, really, I guess, at the open tomb, and they said, don't you remember what he told you? So what I'm going to tell you is you'll remember. You've been told before, but we can keep telling it, because I feel like it's really great encouragement, and we want to keep it fresh in our mind. And when we do, it just makes our day real well. It strengthens our walk with Christ. It helps us to enjoy more things that God has for us. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, and it simply reads like this: And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Now, we've been talking in our Bible class a couple sessions about the promises of God. And God has promises, good promises for us. We need to understand some of the promises in there, not for us, and then we want to look at the ones that's in there for us. But I thought about that. I thought about, well, in Bible class we were studying about promises and at a particular time. And last week we was in Luke 24, both sessions for sunrise service and also for our morning message of the resurrection. And so I kind of put them two together, and you'll probably think I got the message backwards, and that's all right. As long as you get the message, you can take it forward, backwards, the way you want it to go. But I wanted to look at the promises of the resurrection. And so I want to share a couple of thoughts about that this morning with you. And the world is full of empty promises. Just everywhere you look on the television, the internet, the magazines that comes out, and there's all kinds of advertisements in there that tells us, you know, we can be happy, we can be sexy, and we can be rich, and we can be famous. But those are just empty promises. Empty promises. You know, there is this old saying, you know, that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't. But the world has full of promises to us, and so many have taken these empty promises, and they just don't get us what we think they should or what they claim to be. So we say that the world offers us promises that are full of emptiness, but God's not that way. And you're ahead of me, aren't you? God takes, how's this going now? God's promises. The world promises. The world is full of empty promises. Yeah, okay. But God gives us an empty tomb full of promises. Okay, now that's the way it should go. Yeah. So we go to the empty tomb and see what God has promised us there. And the truth of the matter is the fact that God's promises are true. And they're good. They're always good and they're true. You can hang your hat on them, as the old farmer says. God's promise is good. God is different. His promises is not full of emptiness, but they're full of great things for his people. So the first thing I want to mention this morning is this, is that the resurrection of Jesus promises that we will be resurrected too. And John 2, 13, 19, Jesus had gone to Jerusalem. And he was going to attend the Passover there. And there was thousands of people in Jerusalem ready to celebrate the Passover. And when Jesus went into the temple, he found there people selling oxen and sheep and doves, money changers there with tables, gypping the people because they had to change their money. And Jesus made a whip and run them out. And the Jews looked at Jesus and said, "What sign you give us that you have a right to do this?" And Jesus looked upon them and said, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again." They didn't really understand that, I'm sure, when he said that. Then I see in Matthew 12 and 38 through 40, that certain scribes and Pharisees had asked a sign of Jesus, and Jesus says, "For as Jonas," which is Jonah, "was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will I be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." That was a promise. And if you looked at the verse that we read, chapter 6, verse 14, and it said, "And God has raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power." That is a promise. He has promised to do that. And Jesus is saying, "I'm going to be in that grave, and I'm going to rise from it." That is a promise. And we see that promise fulfilled and passed now. You know, if we had a dead Savior, which some says Jesus never rose, they've got those things, and someday we're going to have a session to go through all those things that how what people say that he didn't arise, reasons he did, and so forth. But he did. And but if we had a dead Savior, if Jesus had a came, which he did, and if he had a died, and he did, and if he had been put in a tomb, and he did, it was. If he hadn't rose from that tomb, we'd have a dead Savior. Now, we could have, by that, been made right with God, maybe, because our sins were paid for on Calvary. But we wouldn't have hope of eternal life. You see, because if the grave could hold Jesus, it could hold us. But praise be to God, it couldn't hold Jesus, and it ain't going to hold us. Amen. John 6:40, Jesus said, "And this is the will of him." You notice that where it says, and Jesus even says, this is God's will. If you want to know what God's will is for you, look at those places where it says, this is God's will. And there's several places that it says for you. And Jesus said here that 6:40, and this is the will of him, God, that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. That's a promise to you, to me. It will take place. I won't get on the sad fact, but, you know, it doesn't make a difference whether you're righteous or not righteous. Jesus is going to raise you up, and you'll either come to through the judgment and be cast away or invited to come. But I look upon you people, and you're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's going to be a joyous time when the Lord comes and he will say, and he will raise you up in the last day. That's a promise. So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ promises us, that's a promise right out of the tomb, that he will raise you who believe in him that last day. And the second thing I see here, and again I say you'll probably turn it back around, and that's okay, is the fact that the resurrection of Jesus promises that he will return. See, that is a promise right out of that tomb, right out of that, from the resurrection. You see, the resurrection is promised on the basis that he will return. If Jesus was put to death, and if he was just put to death, he wouldn't be returned. But see, the resurrection says he's going to return. He rose from that grave, and we know where he went then. John 14:1 tells us that very plainly. It was on the eve of the death of Jesus, and he was gathered with his disciples there, the apostles, in what we call the upper room, or what is called the upper room. And it was there that in John 14, is recorded for us, that he told them, he said, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled, because they was troubled about what's going on and what was taking place, and they didn't quite understand Jesus, as we can understand a little bit better because we're on this side of it. But he said, don't be troubled, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, but you believe in God, believe also me. And he said, I'm going away. But I think it's in verse 3 there, I think it's in Donna, that he says, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you into myself. That's a promise. That's a promise from the resurrected Lord. He's going to come again. He's going to return. And he's going to return for his own. He'll come for his own. I like what Paul says, you know, that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, and we use that a lot of times at funerals and so forth, and we hear other preachers use it at funerals, you know, and Paul's speaking, and he's speaking of Jesus' return. He said the Lord's going to ascend with a shout. The trump of God's going to blast out. There's going to be something that's going to blast out so loud that the whole earth's going to hear it. Man, I tell you, you won't have to have hearing aids then. You'll be able to hear that trumpet blow. I'll grant you that. You know, when you think about it, what an exciting time that's going to be when the Lord comes. The Lord himself shall descend. The Lord himself. He's not going to send somebody after you. Hey, Lazarus, you know what? Lazarus, bless his heart. They sent an angel for him. The angels carried away, you know, the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus died and the angels carried him to heaven. But the Lord's going to come. He's going to call you up. He's the one who's going to speak to you. Arise and come. And that's what Paul says there. For the Lord himself descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead, and Christ shall rise first. And they which are alive remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the greatest hope that we have in this life. Listen, if you don't have that hope, you don't have hope. That's the greatest hope that man can have in this life. Hope is not a wishful thinking, you know. Hope is a sure and confident expectation. And just as sure as I'm standing here, I am confident that the Lord's going to come and we're going to hear the trump blow and he's going to welcome those who have put their faith in him, those who have served him, they're going to be welcomed into his kingdom. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. The risen Redeemer is coming in power and glory. And we can live every day in the certainty and the security of that promise that came from the resurrection. That's a resurrection promise from the resurrected one. And then, listen, folks, hey, one day we're going to get out of this old sinful body. We're going to throw it aside. When as Paul says, when we are caught up, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to come. We're going to be raised up in this body. The body will come out of the grave, and the spirit will come from God. Jesus will bring them with him and join them back together. And when we meet Him in the air, we're going to be changed. And there won't be this old body. Won't need glasses. Won't need hearing aids. Won't need false teeth. Hey, we're going to be changed. We're going to have a new body. How great that's going to be. Just because of the resurrection, we have that hope. We're going to have a body like Jesus. Perfect body. No ills, no spills. No breathing help. You'll breathe the freshest air that you ever breathe when we get there. Nothing there to cause any problems with your life. That's for sure. And then we have the resurrection of Jesus promises a reception. He'll receive you. You know, it's sad. Some people allow themselves to get in a stage and they believe in the resurrection. And they're talking about the coming, but they're not as sure if they'll be received when He comes. But Jesus promises us here and now. He'll receive us here, and when He comes, He'll receive us. And I think that's encouraging. I want to encourage you with the fact that, hey, you won't have to worry about Him coming, and you won't have to worry about being resurrected, which are glorious times going to come if you have received Him here. But the fact that the resurrection promises us that He will receive us. Now, I say that with some scripture in mind. You know, there was a time when the girls couldn't join the Boy Scouts. And as you read in the Old Testament and so forth, and there was times, and even in coming into the New Testament, while we see it and until it all takes place, that the Jews were the only ones that actually were God's kingdom, so to speak, God's people. They were looked upon as God's people. And the Gentiles, boy, I mean, they were hated people. They were destroyed. Gentiles couldn't be a part. Well, it did come a time when they could be, what's the word for it? They could be, I forget the word for it anyhow, but they could become a Jew. They had to become a Jew to, you know, if you wasn't a Jew, if you didn't become a Jew, you just couldn't be part of God's family. You wouldn't have no part in it. You know, it's kind of interesting when you think about it. What would happen if you went up to Georgetown here? You went over to Country Club up in Georgetown, and you applied for membership there. You just wanted to, you know, knock that little white ball around across the green grass, green field, and try to get it in that little cup that's planted in the ground. And you think they would receive you as a member? What about the Masons? The Lions Club, the Eagles, the Buzzards. I don't know whether it's a buzzard or not. Listen, the resurrection promises us that Jesus will receive us. And if we will come to Him, we can be a part of His club, His kingdom. Anyone has the opportunity to be a part of that great kingdom, which is better than any club that you could be a member of here on this earth. Because the resurrection of the Lord, we can be received into His kingdom, the kingdom of God. Jesus will never turn anyone down. Isn't that something? You know, I don't know about you, but I've been turned down from things and places in my life. And sometimes it really hurts, doesn't it? You know, I mean, you want to be a part of that, or you want, and so forth, and just can't be. And I used to think about that quite often. And I thought, who am I that God would allow me to be a part of His kingdom? And then I come to know Jesus. It's because of Jesus. It's because of the resurrection. Out of the resurrection, I'm promised, if I'll receive Him, I can be a part of that kingdom. I'm welcomed in there. And Jesus says this, I won't turn you away. There's not a person that would come to Jesus this morning. across this nation, maybe around the world, I don't know, there will be hundreds come down the aisle, and they won't be a one that Jesus will turn away. Now, there might be some the church will turn away, and that's a sad note. That's a different story, but it does happen. This morning, there is very possibly there'll be a person or one or more across the nation somewhere that'll walk down that aisle, and that church family will not accept them in their body. That's a fact. I like the story. I don't like the story. That's told about God, you know, the old beggar that sat on the steps of the porch out there, and people come in, and he'd speak to them, and they'd just kind of shrug him off. And he went down to another church, and they asked him where he'd been and what he'd done. He said, well, I've been trying to get into such and such church up there. And so actually he was talking to God. And God said, well, that's nothing. He said, I've been trying to get in there for a long time too. You know, yeah. But listen, that I tell you, for a person, for a church family, that will turn somebody down, that comes wanting to know Jesus, wanting Jesus in their life. I don't want to stand in their shoes at judgment, I'll tell you that, friends, because the Bible teaches me and very strongly and promises, and God's promises are good and they're sure, and as sure as anything, if you accept the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you live for Him, He will accept you. He will receive you. He will take you into God's great glory. No one turned down from this kingdom. So sometimes the devil tries to get me to think I'm not worthy, and I really am not, to be a part of the kingdom. But you see, it's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus has made me worthy. And Jesus had made you worthy because He died at Calvary. He laid in the tomb. He rose up victorious over death and life. And He promises you, you will be resurrected too. If you're a part of that kingdom, you'll be resurrected. He's coming again. You can be very sure of that. We don't know when, but you can be very sure of that. I look for that with anticipation. I have said, and I don't know whether it's fair to pray that or not, but I've said, Lord, I would like to live to see You come. I'd like to hear the trumpet blow. I wouldn't care if it was today. I'd like to hear the trumpet blow. I want to see the glory coming. And I said, Lord, I'd like for me and Maxine to be standing there together, you know, even with our church family. I'd like to see those doors right now just open up and the glory of God just shine in and hear the trumpet blow. I mean, I look forward to that. What a day. We sing at Him, what a day. What a day that will be when Jesus, we meet Him face to face. Amen. All right, let's close up here this morning. But I just wanted to because we're talking about promises, we're talking about the tomb, I just wanted to remind you and hopefully to instill in you a little bit, hey, that because of the resurrection, we have a tomb full of promises coming from God. And if you'll just kind of dwell on those, if you'll meditate on those, you just have a good day every day. That's, you know, whatever Satan brings about, it'll override it because of Him. The wonderful promises of God, the resurrection sets forth for believers, they're almost too good to be true, aren't they? They're almost too good to be true. But praise God, they're true. They're for you and they're for me. He'll receive you. He'll come for you. He'll take you to the glorious place. Amen. Let us stand and sing. First verse only. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. And the matter, I am the clay.
say, mend and make me after thy will. Unmeeting, yielded and still.
Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house, and that you have a great day and a great week in the Lord. I know He's got something good out there for you. That's the way He is. That's who He is and the way He is. Enjoy every minute of it, won't you? Robert, would you ask God's blessing on us as we leave, please?
Yes, sir. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day, and we thank you for your message, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to please guide us through this week and give us strength to face whatever is to come, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to be in our hearts and guide our decisions and our prayers. And help us all be here again next Sunday to worship thy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.